You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary will find you salvation. Jesus said, forgive your brothers 7 times 70. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. We are the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
That was so beautiful.
I figured I would start slow and easy so that we can really just get in the mood, so we can be open to God. You know, if we go so fast, listen up, the most listen up. No, we had to be very quiet.
That was very,
very gentle. I tried, Tony.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus. How's that, Dr.
That's
Palmer?
Very good.
Okay.
See, and I know Joni would be proud of you.
Oh.
Because she says, you know, oh, it's so nice. Somebody got him to slow down.
Oh, my sweet Joni. Okay, we got a pretty good guest here today. So what you want to introduce our little guest?
You can introduce.
Okay, that's EJ, better known as Edwin Rodriguez. Is that the right name?
Edwin John.
John. And he has a fascinating story of forgiveness, of redemption through forgiveness to tell us. And I thought that it was such a beautiful story. You know what? We need to have him on the radio show. And he needs to tell our listeners about
and
it.
And not only that, he's 19 years of age.
And he's 19 years of
and
age.
And he found God.
And he found God. But better yet, he found the virtues of forgiveness and the redemption through forgiveness.
Yeah.
So, EJ, I'll let you do your little talk. So tell us a little bit something about yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is EJ Rodriguez, and I'm Puerto Rican and Filipino.
That's like a 1-2 punch combination right there.
That's like Bruno Mars. He's mixed like that, too.
Okay.
I'm in a youth group for about 6 years now, Paternoster Youth Ministry. And
where is that?
That's in West Hempstead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. St. Thomas the Apostle?
St. Ladislaw.
Okay.
It's a Polish church, yeah.
Okay.
It's really beautiful.
That's funny. Puerto Rican, Filipino, and Polish. The three P's.
I know, right? And I go to NASA Community College for... I just changed my major to sound recording technology.
Good.
So I'm happy about that. What else? I like to sing. I play the drums. Like food.
But you know, you found God after a terrible experience.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell our listeners what happened?
You want me to start from the beginning? Or?
Yeah. Wherever.
Yeah. Yes, give us the full story, baby.
Well, my mom and my dad met, and then they had me.
Not that far back.
Okay, all right. So I grew up from Queens. I stayed for a little bit, and then I moved to Franklin Square.
Oh, Franklin Square?
Yeah. It's near St. Catherine.
Oh.
So,
That's my parish.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You live there?
I live there, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, you know, growing up, I was the church boy, basically. Like, whenever you go to church, and then, please turn to page 585 as we listen to... No. I'm like, okay, I'll sing it. And then all my friends that I see at my church are looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like... Don't judge me. I like God.
Okay.
And I was thinking about it. So I was very impressionable. You know, let's play games. Okay, I'll play with you. So growing up, I was very impressionable, like I said. I was very nice. I was very shy. I was an introvert. And then me and someone close to our family, we got really close. Like, we were, like, best of friends. We did everything together. And then when you build, like, you know, the thing about trust, the funny thing about trust is that it's very slow to grow and to gain, but it's so quick to remove. Like, it's so quick to lose.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
You are so right.
Yeah.
And wait till you hear what's going to go on later on in the show. All right. We'll talk. Go ahead.
Okay. So me and my cousin were very close. And then he betrayed my trust very, very, in a very bad manner.
Okay. He abused you.
Yeah, very, very bad manner. And you know, being young, I was like 8 or 9. I didn't know. I was like, okay, but, and then, you know, growing up, we were still best friends. I still love my family. I was still a very good kid. And then, when I grew up, as like a teenager, I was like 13, 14, like my freshman year, high school. That's when I finally realized what had happened. And then I was kind of afraid. Like, that's when I started slipping away from God. Like, I was moving farther away. Like, when you get older, like, you grow up, you know more about the world, you want to explore other things that are not of God. So, mm-hmm. Growing up, and then I remember this one time, by then, my friendship with my best friend, we were, like, very...
Well, sure, he betrayed you.
Yeah, it was very wishy-washy. It was very... Yeah. Bad.
Do you know how many listeners have been abused sexually by people in their lives? So many of them, and they don't talk about it. That's why it's so wonderful and brave of you to be here.
Yeah, everyone told me I'm courageous, but
you are.
Praise be to God. It's not.
Well,
mine.
It's your story is meant to touch other people's lives.
Yeah,
your story is meant to evangelize.
Yeah,
to wake up the people out there.
Yeah,
and to let them know about. Forgiveness, but go on. I'm getting to love your story more and more.
Okay. So then I remember this one time, because I used to go to St. John's Prep in my freshman year,
sure.
In Queens, so it was like a far drive. I was with my parents, and it was a long drive back home. There's so much traffic on Southern State, I think, or LIE, and then we got in this huge argument, because by then I was like arguing with my parents like a lot. Argue with my sisters a lot, and just like I was very, by freshman year I was very bad. And even though on the outside, you know, you're exterior, you want to show people you're good, on the inside there's a totally different story about it.
You were angry.
Yeah, I was angry. Basically, how I sum it up, every negative emotion that exists, I was feeling at that time. Like, I hated my parents. I didn't like my sisters, family. My friends weren't really my friends. Like, that's when the doubt that God saves you creeps in, right? So
it's hard to learn to trust.
It's very hard to learn to trust. So I was arguing with my parents back and forth a lot. And then it was like quiet for like a good like 30 seconds. And then I hear like, and crying. I was like, that's not me who's crying. And it's my parents. And I've never seen my parents cry before, right? So I'm like, what did I just do? Then I started, like, we just all started crying. And then, like, to see them cry for someone else's sin, I couldn't control it. I was like, oh, my God.
And it's important to point out it wasn't your sin.
Yeah, it was my sin.
It was the other person's sin.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of you as a little child.
Yeah. So once that happened, I'm like, this person just made my parents cry. What's happening? Like, what am I doing? Told my best friend, who I trusted so dearly, like, don't talk to me. The whole 9 yards, like, don't talk to me, don't listen to me, I delete his number, everything. Like, we're friends, so that was done with. And then growing up, you know, I was still, you know, a little troubled child, kind of. Like, I was not getting good grades, I was studying. Just, like, a lot of things that are encapsulated by the sin that had control over me, because I let it have control. And then that's when I started getting into my youth group, but I wasn't soaking in the words of God wholeheartedly. I was just listening. It was like, you hear it, but you don't listen. Because when you listen, that's when you retain what you, mm-hmm. you retain the information that's given to you. But it would just go out one ear, come out the other.
Didn't get through your boundary.
No, it would be at the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And then we'd have retreats and meetings, and I would come, but I didn't really feel different. These retreats that we have for 3 days in December, now that I look back, it's like, those retreats were just me to get away from my outside problems, like my parents and family, from arguing even more. So that happened.
But it really was God leading you.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and a lot of people don't understand that. They go through the motions, but they have a boundary up. And that's what you're describing so well.
Yeah, because a lot of times when people betray your trust, you make borders of your trust. Like, you can only get so far before you get to my heart.
Right. That's right. And John has a very good point there. In order to get closer to Jesus,
you have to knock down those borders, those barriers, rather.
Yeah.
And as soon as those barriers are knocked down or taken away, which you did, Jesus comes right into your life.
And it was probably doubly hard for you to go because you were angry at God, too.
Yeah.
Where are you? Go ahead. We better be quiet. And let you tell your story.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll get the duct tape back.
Hope not.
Not for you.
No, not for you.
Oh,
for
John.
Once in a while, EJ, I have to use duct tape on John.
Oh.
To keep him quiet.
That kind of stuff.
All right. So your story is intriguing. Let's go on with it.
Yeah. So about when I was 16, 17, it was like, I think my fourth retreat that my youth group had. And same thing, I always thought like, oh, it's just like a getaway to get away from my problems. And that's when I first met the Lord, like face to face. I had a vision and everything. I cried the whole nine yards again. Like I cried like a baby.
Really?
I was just letting it go. And I thought I let everything go. Like all my emotions of like hatred and sin and hopelessness, I thought that was gone. And for the most part, it was, but I couldn't realize that I still had spite towards this person that I couldn't forgive. I don't know why I couldn't forgive. It took a long process. So,
sure.
Fast forward to 18 years old. So my youth group had its 11-year anniversary in August, and I was thinking, because I just remember, like, whenever the thought of him and what happened, the sin and the control, because when you don't forgive the oppressor who you feel like did you wrong or betrayed your trust or just hurt you, when you don't forgive that sin has control over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it has power over you. You never want sin to have power over you because God is the almighty power. He's more powerful than any sin or any wrongdoing that's ever done to you. He can just take it and break it, and you'll be fine. So, like I said, I had so much hatred for this person. Like, you hurt my family, you hurt me. Like, when I thought about forgiving him, like, I just thought about, like, oh, should I forgive him? No, I shouldn't, because look what he did. Like, my parents cried. I still remember that so vividly. I'm like, it can't happen. But then you have to learn to let your pride go. So,
boy, you just said a mouthful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Learn to let your pride go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest thing. So I wanted to see him in person and forgive him. But then again, I don't know if I was complete. I didn't know if I had a complete decision towards forgiving him, because a lot of decisions that we kind of make, they're based on emotion. And the thing about emotion is that it's like a roller coaster. It goes up and down, up and down. One day I love you, the next day I want to kill you, right? So when you make a decision that's concrete, that stays, it can't be through emotion. It has to be through your sheer will and what you want. So when I decided to love God wholeheartedly, I'm like, I don't love him now and then I don't like him the next day because I did bad in the test. I'll love you forever. Like, that's my decision. So,
but that's what love is. Yeah. Love is a decision.
Yeah.
And you decide, and then you begin to operate from that base despite your feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the thing about love is that his love is relentless. It never ends. And even if you don't love him, let's say you don't love him for one day, let's say you feel really down, and you're just like, he's like, he'll step back. He's like, okay, you can feel like that now. I'm still going to love you. And then when you realize, once you realize your emotions, once you get back to a state of serenity, you know that I was always there for you.
Well, you see, that's very important.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful statement. And that's what Jesus is all about.
Yeah.
He's there. Yeah, you can feel like that. When you decide that you want me, I'm there. I'll be there.
Yeah.
And he'll never say no to you once you decide that you want him in your life.
Yeah.
And you did, didn't you?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, okay. So, for the anniversary for my youth group, we needed somebody to talk basically about the group and I guess their experience, because it was a really big event. Like, I think there was like, it was like our church, it was like 200 people, 300. I didn't expect that to be that lot of people. So then our youth administrator, like the person who helped start the group up, her name is Grace.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, if you meet her, she's like a saint. I'm just, I love you so much. Like, you're like the example of what God wants us to be, right? So, so I remember I never told my story to anybody until I was 18. Nobody, no one knew. Even the friends that I grew friendships with later on, we were really strong. I just couldn't bring myself to talk about it because it's such a painful memory to bring back up, and you never want to go back to it. But you have to learn that when you bring it up and you surrender it, then that whatever negative sin that's from that experience is completely gone. Yeah. So,
wow.
So I told her, I told my whole story because I trust her. Like, I trust her the most. Like, you're such a God-fearing woman. You're like an example of God's love. I have to tell you because like I trusted her a lot. So I told her, and then she told me like, oh yeah, you have to forgive. You know, she knows me a lot. Like, you have to forgive. You have to realize that. Like I said, from 8 to 18, that power of sin had control over my life for 10 years. Yeah, sure. And the only person that should have power over your life is God. So I was like, you're right. Like, you know, like it's like, you know, like when you say, I know, but you don't act upon what you know.
Yeah.
Then it's like faith. Faith without action is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, I'm like, oh, I want to see this person, my ex-best friend or the person who hurt me, and I want to forgive him. And then she told me, how do you feel about this person? I'm like, I hate him. I don't know what I'm going to do if I meet him. I might hurt him. I'm like, be careful. Like, if you meet him, because when you have uncontrollable rage, you just don't know what to do with it. You got to, like, let it out. But there's not so many outlets you could let it out, except the most important outlet is through God. Just let it out, right? So I saw him on a Sunday. And then, funny thing is that from the experience that happened and then me growing up and learning more about God and just learning to let things go,
mm-hmm.
I become a better person. And then when I met him, he couldn't look into my eyes at all.
Guilt.
He could, yeah. But, and then when the way I am now, like, you know, when someone's interested in talking to you, when you look them eye to eye, right? Like, you're very interested. So that's why I talk to people. I'm like, eye to eye. So I...
Eye contact,
yeah, basically.
Very important. I teach that.
So, walking back and forth, it was on a random street. I don't even remember. And then, I remember walking, and I'm just like looking up to this guy. I'm just like, God, do I really want to forgive this person? Does he deserve it? Do I really want to forgive him? Just like contemplating the act of forgiveness. Like, should I give him? Because forgiveness, like, for him to forgive. Also for yourself. Mm-hmm. So just walking back and forth, and then I don't know what God just said, just go, just let it go, or just do it. And then from when he said that to me, I was
internally,
yeah,
I felt it. Yeah,
I felt it, and I was like, I'm gonna forgive. So then I turned to him, and then I said, hey. And then that's when he finally looked me in the eye. And I said, I forgive you.
Oh,
God. And then,
amen.
Once that happened, he left. And then I was just like walking up and down the street. And then I just remember looking up to this guy, and I literally yelled out, "Thank you, God." And there, like, I think there was mass happening, so people started walking out. They probably looked at me like, "What is he talking about?" All right, but they can't say anything because it's about God. So I didn't even care. I'm just like, "Thank you, God." And then as soon as I look straight, people looking at me, I'm just like, "Oh, sorry." And then I went inside a church, and then I went to the pew and I started praying. And then people were leaving, and then Father Larry, like I told you, he was there. And then I don't know what pushed me to tell him.
That's Father Larry.
Father Larry, yeah. From
our dear old friend, Father Larry. Larry's turned on our show, yeah. So many times.
Hi, Father. I know you're in Connecticut, but maybe you're listening.
Okay. So I don't know what pushed me to just say, talk to him, but I'm glad I did. That's how I got here. Uh-huh. So I told him, he's like, oh, that's a really powerful testimony. And this is like about like a week or 2 weeks before that anniversary, talking in front of 300 people, 200 people. So I remember she told me, "You're gonna do it." I'm like, I just forgave you. Don't do it right now. It's so close. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I trust you, Grace, because like I trust you. So then I remember walking up, and then I look straight up and like, there's so many people looking at me. And then I was going with my story. And then, so at that point, again, it was only me, the person who betrayed me, and then Grace, who knew about my story. So that's when everyone knew my story. I invited like my family friends. I invited my family. And then my youth group found out, because like, they're like family to me too. And I just spoke it. And then I was talking fine like this. And then as it came closer and closer to the experience, I was like, don't cry, EJ. You're good. You're tough enough for this. And then as soon as it hit, like a little baby, right? Like a little baby. Like I didn't get my milk or something. I was just crying. And then I was like, suck it up. Okay, I sucked it up. And then I started talking. And then, you know when you cry and then like, you're like, and then he loves me. And then, you just sound like that. And then I finally got back to like talking regular. And then I spoke in. And the very end, I'm like, God bless and thank you for listening to me. And then everyone just like stood up and clapped. I was like, oh my gosh. It was like, it's so beautiful. And I mean, I didn't expect nothing from it. Like, I know some people would probably tell me like, oh, good job. And then I had like my youth group friends and my other friends and my family that just hugged me and like, you're so courageous, you're so brave. And I didn't think about it like that, because I don't really like to talk about how good I am, because I don't know, it just feels weird. Like, it's not,
yeah,
uh-huh. I didn't make myself this way. God made myself this way.
See, you're right. Not good then. You're terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. I keep talking. But, you're right. I'm talking.
That's why I'm on the radio.
But EJ, this act of forgiveness.
Yeah.
You're probably going to, and you probably realize it's probably the most important act you've ever done in your life.
Yeah, it's a miracle that it happened.
Because
yes, it is.
It did open the gates to Jesus.
Yeah.
And it did bring Jesus, you into Jesus' arms.
Yeah.
How did you feel? Did you feel like you have a big load taken off your shoulders? Did you feel like redeemed? Did you feel like a new life was before you? How was the feeling of forgiveness? I often wonder about people forgiving and taking that burden off their shoulder.
Yeah.
How is the feeling? What do you feel like? I don't know if that's a tough question or not.
I'll try and answer it.
Okay.
I just want to backtrack a little bit. So okay. When I told Grace my story, she told me, she was praying over me, because she's such a beautiful person of God. And then she told me, I see your heart, and it's flesh, but there's a certain part of your heart that's made of, like, dark stone. Mm. And that's happening from you not forgiving. So when I forgave, and like, literally right after I said thank you, God yelled, everyone looked at me like I'm weird. It wasn't so much a load off my shoulders. That's the first time, when I met God, it's the first time I felt that. It was more like a load off my heart, like, it didn't feel so heavy anymore, because he already, you know, his son took the cross already. So, like, how I am now,
his son took the cross away.
His son took the cross.
That's what you said.
Very, very beautiful statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
So, I always remember how I felt and how I never wanted to feel any less than that. So, whenever something happens or goes wrong in my, how we perceive to be bad in our life, God uses that to better you. So I learned to just let things go and just surrender it. And being transparent and being vulnerable to his love, it allows him to work through you and work through your life. And then he knows that, I know now that his plan is beautiful. And even though we're never going to know it fully, it's just going to happen as it goes, because he's all-knowing and omniscient.
Right.
I know that as long as I have hope and faith and trust, he's the only person you can truly trust, and he'll never break it. I know I'm good. So whatever goes my way, I know that I'll be good in the end.
Yeah. Did the words in scripture take on new meaning for you now?
Very. When I used to read the Bible or hear the word, you know, you hear it and you try and act upon it. But now after that forgiving, whenever I read Bible scriptures, or even when I read like an inspirational text or hear a song that resembles God's love, I just learn to draw from it and draw from his love and forgiveness. I tend to, when I read the Bible now, whenever I read a verse, I tend to see it and I just, I just start writing away how I feel and what it means to me. Yeah. And I've never done that before.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah. I used to think that was... I used to think...
That's journaling with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. That's...
And you mentioned before the program that Hillsong music...
Yeah.
...attracted you and helped you. I know you have your iPad with you. Why don't you pick out one song that really... meant something. We'll put it right up to the microphone and it will go out over the air.
Yeah, we'll because go to, yeah.
I've done that before. I want people to understand, hey, God talks to us in so many ways, and here he talked to you through Hillsong music. Just pick the one that you really truly liked and start it, and you can put it right up to your microphone.
Okay.
And tell us about the song if you want.
So If you guys don't know who are listening, Hillsong is like the biggest Christian band, basically in history. Like they have a church in the city and they're very big. They really speak to me. So the song I'm gonna pick is from their newest album called Zion. It's like a year or two ago, and this is an acoustic session, like a live session that they did. The song is called Oceans, which you know K-Love, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They had an award show and they actually won.
Give the people the number of K-Love. What is it?
96.7. Yep. You can call me or email me at. So okay. The song is called Oceans, and where my feet might fail. And there's a verse in the song. When you listen to the song, it's Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders.
Wow.
So I'm like that. It just speaks to me and. I want to play it.
And go ahead. And it may mean something very important to a listener who's going through the need to forgive someone. And that song, it meant to you, maybe I'm sure it will mean to him. Go ahead, start it.
Right here?
Yeah, right up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait alive. There you go. That's fine.
Yeah, it's coming through good.
Okay.
You can sing with it.
No, it's okay. I won't listen to it.
How many times did you sing that song when you weren't listening? Because that was the Holy Spirit getting into you and touching you through music.
Probably over 100 times.
I bet. I bet. You know, and people have to understand, when they make a decision to forgive, God will come into you as he did to you in the way that best fits your personality. So he did it through music, and he touched you. And I watched your face as you were listening to that song, and I could see that you were once again experiencing God's presence through that music. Isn't that what was happening?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I could tell. And that he comes alive in you. And that's the point we try to make with all of our programs. God is alive and is a divine person, three divine persons. And he wants to be your friend. As Tony said, your God is your best friend. He's the more than your brother, your best friend. And look how he got into you. I remember in my life, I was told in prayer, John, I have good news for you and bad news. I said, all right, what's the good news? The good news is that I love you. Okay, what's the bad news? There's not a damn thing you can do about it. You've got a sense of humor.
And that's very true.
That's funny.
His love for you was never failing, never ended. He led you to that forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm sure, in order to open the doorways to him.
Yeah.
And you mentioned K-Joy, 96.7. It's a religious music show for the young people.
Yeah.
And it has music that gets to you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the speakers all tell their stories, the announcers, they're all committed to God. Whatever their religion may be. So anyone who is really in recovery, if you want, from an attack or a betrayal, and who decides to forgive, try, if you're young and old, try 96.7. It's really solid music, and it's K-Love, K-Joy, and it's God's love there.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
There are, no doubt, many listeners in our audience that are suffering from this lack of forgiving, and so am I. And by the way, I've offended many people.
Yes.
And I beg their forgiveness. I pray every morning. One of my prayers is, please let those that I've offended soften their hearts so that I'm forgiven. Can you just tell the audience your personal feeling once you gave that forgiveness, and once you said, I forgive you?
So, I think the biggest thing I took from forgiveness and just forgiving any type of sin, it's that whatever sin that's been plaguing your life, whether it's forgiveness or whatever, that sin has been won over already. You're already the victor. You're not the victim of the sin, because God already won it. But it's up to you to let it go. So, the way it made me feel, it felt like I was on air. Like I was, It felt like
burden was lifted off your shoulders.
God gives us wings, and then that sin is ourselves shackling us to the ground when his love is so sky high. So when you let those shackles go, you just feel so uplifted. Absolutely. You feel Jesus on the air. You feel like you're in the air. And
then he also eliminates the memory of the sin. He doesn't want it to come back to haunt you ever again, although you may get shadow experiences of it. But he wants it to go away, and he's already forgiven the person who shackled you in pain.
That's another question I'll have. If we have time, I want to ask about that, the person that you forgave. But we'll go
We'll move on. Like me to read the commentary for this Sunday?
Yeah,
we have. I'll do that. I can understand when you shove the stuff in front of me. But that's what you want.
Could I put it under your nose? The reflection.
Okay.
The spiritual reflection for this week is on the words from tomorrow's Mass. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. It's the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, and on that day, what we do is we give thanks to Almighty God for the gift of Pope Francis. We can easily see why God, the Holy Spirit, moved the cardinal electors to vote for Jorge Bergoglio to be our Pope. He is definitely a true and sturdy rock for Jesus' church, but he's also very much like St. Paul, who was the church's first and foremost missionary. Paul would travel many miles to introduce people to Jesus. He would undergo ridicule, shipwrecks, imprisonment, and death by the sword to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sakes. Yes, Pope Francis gives us an insight into the minds and hearts of those who led the Catholic Church at its very beginnings. We need to remember Pope Francis in our prayers every day. The word pontiff means bridge. Pope Francis is definitely a pontiff who brings God to men and men to God, just like he did with you. Just like he did with you.
Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You
know?
And you, because the church is there and the words are there, you went to them,
yeah.
But eventually, they became your life, your internal life. That's such a powerful gift, and he gives it to anyone who decides to follow God and use forgiveness as the path. It's very powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, who's our saint? We're a saint?
Well, this is... No, I'm going to do a little
every day, every Saturday.
We feature a saint every week, and John always reads the reflection because he reads so beautifully. I'm from Brooklyn; I don't read that beautiful. But John reads beautifully.
Well, you know, this year's saint, if I hear, is
we may have one right in front of us because the history has shown that those that have forgiven have become saints. And you know, I wanted to do Maria Gherardi. And she's the one of the youngest saints, 12 years old. She was murdered by someone that wanted to have a sexual relations with her, and he was locked up. She forgave him. She appeared in his dream and forgave him. He was released from prison. He became a missionary, became a priest, and she was beatified in 1947 and canonized in 1950. As one of the youngest saints. But I wanted to do a different angle about this forgiveness. You know, there's also the example of St. John Paul II, who forgave his attacker. And how about saintly Stephen McDonald, who forgave his attacker?
You may not know Stephen. He's a policeman who was shot and paralyzed 30 years ago. Totally paralyzed, and he's turned his whole life over to God in forgiveness.
Forgiveness, yes. I happened to pray over it, and I happened to come across St. Thomas Becket. I would like to talk about him.
Sure.
He sort of projects a motto that I try to live by: don't do today what you'll be sorry for tomorrow. So, like so many things, it began with a quarrel. Several quarrels, in fact, all of them between King Henry II of England and Thomas Becket, who was Archbishop of Canterbury once. They've been friends at one time, close, tight friends. But sadly, that friendship fell apart. At the start of the story, Henry was the most powerful king in Europe. Thomas Becket was the son of a rich merchant. He's done very well for himself, getting better and better jobs both in England and Rome, and until he got the best job of all, the king made him the Royal Chancellor of England, responsible for seeing that everything the king ordered was carried out. So Thomas was powerful. He lived in his own palace. He was nearly as luxuriously living as and well-furnished as the king. He enjoyed good food, fine clothes, hunted, and had a nice life. Meanwhile, Henry had a problem. He was having trouble getting the leaders of the church, the bishops, to do what he wanted because they didn't like being bossed around by King Henry. They felt that not even the king should tell the church what to do. Henry didn't like that. Then he had an idea. He made his good friend, Thomas, Archbishop of Canterbury. That meant that he would be in charge of all the bishops. They would have to do what he said. And of course, Thomas was a friend of Henry, and that would mean the king would get his own way. However, when Thomas was made Archbishop, he also gave up living luxuriously, and lived very simply. What mattered most to him now was the church. He took its part against the king. So it was little wonder that they soon argued seriously. That Thomas had to leave England for his own safety. He went to live in Rome in the year 1164. 6 years later, when Thomas and Henry were both in France, they met and made up their quarrel. Thomas returned to Canterbury. Everyone treated him like a hero. The people cheered as he made his way into the city. Again, Thomas became the champion of the church, and soon the king's temper flared up again. I appointed this guy. I made him the bishop. He should be doing my deeds. One December day, while he was still in France, he lost patience, well and truly. Who will free me? Free me from this priest. Four of the king's knights heard what the king said, and they were loyal to that king. They decided he could mean only one thing. The four of them looked at each other and nodded, and one of the knights, Sir Henry, left with the four knights as fast as they could and took a ship across the channel. Some people say that Henry realized what happened and sent messages after them to stop them because he knew what they were going to do. But they failed to catch up with the knights. 4 days after Christmas, the knights arrived at Canterbury and met Thomas. An argument took place. Thomas went into the cathedral to pray for one at the altar. The priest at the cathedral wanted to bar the lock of the doors, but Thomas said no, the Church of God should not be locked. And then just as it was getting dark, the knights made their way into the cathedral, and a holy part of the cathedral, as a matter of fact, and their great heavy swords then struck Thomas and killed him. Christians all over Europe were horrified when they heard what happened, and soon people started to call him Saint Thomas Becket. It wasn't long before people started making journeys to Canterbury to pray where St. Thomas was buried. In the end, King Henry realized how much he was to blame. He too visited Canterbury, walking barefoot to show how sorry he was. But Thomas was dead, and nothing could alter that. Henry knelt to pray at the grave of the man who was once upon a time his best friend, and because of him, he is now dead. And so that brings up the thought, don't do today what you'll be sorry for tomorrow. And so that's Amen. The other side of
Yeah, but it also brings up standing tall in your trusting God in whatever is befalling you in your life, and in this case, the need to forgive betrayal. And you did it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And Thomas may have died, but you're young, and you're still alive, and your story is going to touch so many people, young and old alike, people who are afraid to come out in the open and tell the truth of what hurt them most in their lives. So really,
the point is, if you don't forgive today, you'll probably be sorry tomorrow.
And you'll carry that. Look at how I'm blocking on your first name.
You can call me EJ.
EJ.
Yeah.
Look how EJ was really in prison.
Yeah.
In prison.
Absolutely.
By the pain until you faced it and cleaned it out.
Look how King Henry is being tormented because he felt blamed for the death of his once upon a time good friend. Yeah. So if you don't forgive, it'll come back to haunt you.
And we have a number of people, men and women. Women have had the abortion, but the men are part and parcel of it because of their support, who can't forgive themselves. Yeah. Even though God has forgiven them, he forgave that action the moment it happened. You know that.
Yeah.
But it took you 10 years, huh?
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be a decade.
Yeah.
Now to bring it up.
But you know, you have a lot of wisdom because of the pain you've been through. You've learned lessons through this forgiveness process that will last you the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And God has touched you.
I'm thankful for it.
Yeah.
I'm dying to ask this question. May I?
Yes. No. No, tell him no.
Where's the duct tape?
What was the reaction and the aftermath of the person you forgave? Did he accept the forgiveness?
He did. When I saw him, I haven't seen him since. I hope he's good. I'll pay for him. He said, thank you so much. But like you said, he couldn't forgive himself. So yeah. I said, you know, like he said, he's very holy man too. I said, try and go back to God because he's waiting for you.
Oh, and wow.
So
beautiful.
Like you have to learn to forgive yourself for what you did too. And he pray for you. Like God says you have to pray for those who trespass against us, right, in the prayer. The thing about forgiveness is that no matter how old or young you are, it doesn't have to be a big, like, proclamation. That'd be a big event that happened in your life where you have to forgive. It could be something as small as like a white lie. It could be like, oh, I was supposed to go to eat with this person, but they didn't pick me up because they said they had no gas or they went somewhere else. It could be something as small as that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't forgive in that instance, it's gonna grow and sin thrives in darkness. When you forgive, you bring it to the light and it's gone.
Oh. And now, Tony, that question you asked was so important. What happened to the person who was forgiven? You were going to tell the story of Maria Goretti. What happened to the man who killed her while trying to sexually rape her?
He was forgiven by Maria in a dream. He got released from prison.
Yeah.
He went to her canonization.
Yeah.
He became a priest.
Okay.
And he became a missionary.
Wow.
And it turned that forgiveness actually saved, I can't say, but actually brought him back to God, and he became a missionary. And I think that forgiving is so powerful, and it affects everyone. And
it's just
that,
it really does.
That one forgiveness, and Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7, that's how powerful forgiveness is.
Forgiveness is like you're wearing all white clothes, and then whenever you sin or you don't forgive, you have more stains. You have a coffee stain, you have a ketchup stain. And then when you leave it on, you feel dirty. And then once you forgive, it's like, I'm gonna put Titan all over it, and you're clean.
EJ, your wisdom far exceeds your age.
Thank
it really
you.
Does.
And we spend some time towards the tail end of the program to pray for our listeners, and I'd like us all to pray for the listener who has to forgive most, the person who hurt him or her most. Because without that gift of forgiveness, he's going to miss out on the joy of life with Jesus and God the Father,
yes.
Or she will. And most important, I pray all the time for those who have had horrible things that they've done in their lives to be open to forgive themselves and accept the grace of God for their actions and know that they are forgiven. You did nothing wrong, EJ. And that's important for people who've been sexually abused to hear. You did nothing wrong. You were not guilty. You didn't entice anything. But the gift of forgiveness is for the person, like you said, whose sin shackled you to a burden that you didn't really need. And we're praying for listeners to be open that way.
Yes, and again, I want to make a public announcement that I beg forgiveness for all those that I've offended, and I've offended many people in my lifetime.
Well, the line, I saw the line. It stretches from here to the Nassau Coliseum. It really is long. Terrible.
It is pretty long. But you know? One by one, I think I'm being forgiven very slowly.
Do you have a prayer you'd like to offer to those who are in pain?
Do you want to lead prayer?
Whatever you want. Sure.
Okay. All right. Put me on the spot. Okay, I got it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we just want to thank you today for giving us this beautiful weather, and we want you, Lord God, to show your followers and those who love you and those who you love to know that you're always there, and that whatever sin or whatever they're not letting go or forgiving in their life, you bless them with forgiveness, and it's there for the taking. They just have to ask for it, and once they do, they'll feel so relieved. Lord God, ask you right now to whoever is listening to this or whoever will in the future to just know that by letting go of whatever is not of you and your glory and your grace, by letting go of that sin and that dirt, by letting go and forgiving, it will bring them to a new light, and it will shine on them and show them a new path for them to follow. And once they get on that path, it will be so beautiful that they don't even know the power of your love and the plan that you have for them, so long as they forgive and trust in you, because you are so trustworthy. You never let us down, and everything that happens in our life is for a reason, for us to just be closer to you and for the greater plan, the greater good that you have for us.
I have a very brief Italian prayer that's not as beautiful as yours.
No, yours was good. Yours was very beautiful.
Beautiful. Jesus,
really was.
Would you hit those people who refuse to forgive? Hit them up the side of the head. Wake them up and tell them that your love is alive and that you are alive.
And Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks. We thank you for bringing us EJ. We thank you for bringing his wisdom to us. And thank you for having him share his wisdom to our audience. And we thank you, and we hope, and we know that our audience has been touched by EJ's wisdom, by his mercy, by his love, and by his willingness to forgive and his new life from forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus.
God is the strength of your heart, listeners.
Absolutely.
And this is, when I talked before, this is Don Moen. Remember I told you about him?
And so
please,
you may not recognize his name. That's right.
We put it in my church. I didn't know that was the name of him.
And Jesus, bless our audience and our petitions. Thank you, Jesus.
Of my heart. Yeah, I know this song.
Yeah. Even old timers listen to upbeat ones. Thank you, EJ. Thank you so much.
EJ, a lot.
We're gonna have to have you come back again.
Whenever
we're gonna do a
follow up. So, I'm so blessed. I'll come.
Okay.
Nothing on earth I desire besides you. My heart and my strength, many times they fail.
There is one truth tonight.
But there is one truth that always will prevail.
Hey.
God is the
you ever going to take those singing lessons?
Never. Throws me off. I'll sing on key.
God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Sing it, choir.
God is the strength.
Yeah, man.
Of my heart.
Come on, choir.
God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart.
Trevor to dance to. Go, Trevor.
Heart of the nautical mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.